Our scripture reading today is from Mark 7. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law ask Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions.'" Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Isn't that a great voice? You ought to be a preacher. I'm just saying. Whenever I find out Beverly's going to be the liturgist, I always smile. Because God knows I need a lot of help when I'm preaching. He goes, "Oh, let's start her out with Beverly. It'll be great." I love it. It's a great and joyful thing. Would you pray with me? Dearest God, we've come to this place, and we just want to tell you how much we love you. We want to tell the world how much we love you. Because showing up, is huge these days, God. Bless our time. Bless our listening. Bless our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, the lectionary is so much fun, isn't it? Ooh, that's weird that you think this is a fun scripture. This is not necessarily a fun scripture. But it's kind of to the point. It's kind of what it needs to be. This is lectionarily speaking on this 16th Sunday in after Pentecost. And this is where we are. This is why I do lectionary. Because it makes me look at stuff sometimes that is a little, as I said last week, uncomfortable. And yet necessary. I kind of like it a little bit. Because Jesus is all over the church leaders. Ouch! He's a little bit all over them. So sometimes I go, Because even though I'm a pastor, I'm a woman pastor. And sometimes we experience life a little differently than other pastors do. People tell us things sometimes that kind of make me go, oh. And then they tell me things that make me go, oh. And I wonder if that's because I am a woman pastor. So we pastors, sometimes we need to be reminded that God's love is why we're here today. Are you with me? I kind of think that's a good thing. Can we all smile about that a little bit? I don't know if y'all are getting hungry or you're tired. You've worked too hard this weekend. I don't know what you're doing, but get a smile on your face. Because there is going to be something to smile about this in the end. I promise. The Pharisees had come, and they gathered around Jesus. And Jesus was sitting with a group of people, and they were eating. Imagine that. I smiled when God gave me this scripture because he knows how much I love to eat. But the thing was going on was these people had not washed their hands, ritualistically washed their hands. And for these sweet people, actually, historically, they believed that their cleanliness piece was a reason why they multiplied and survived so well because of all their cleanliness rituals. Does that make sense to you? I mean, we're talking about COVID right now, raising its head again. And what are we all saying? Get the hand sanitizer back out. Clean yourself up. If you forget to wash your hands, don't wash them. We're getting a little lax. So there's a purpose to that a bit. Except what happens here is the rulers used it as kind of their tradition, a rule that separated those. Maybe these people didn't even know about this rule. Did you ever think about that? Sometimes I love reading scripture and I go way out. I get off the rails. All this week I've heard, don't get off the rails, Marcia. Don't go off the rails. But when I'm reading scripture, a lot of times I kind of get off the rails. And I thought, what if these boys didn't even know that they were supposed to wash up? Because they're kind of new to the whole deal. Right? Kind of like when somebody new comes here, they don't know all the kind of strange things we do in here. We speak a little churchese. We stand up. We sit down. We don't sway to the left or the right. We don't do that yet. Fight, fight, fight. That's an old LHS thing. Never mind. But we do some things that I bet are done in here that a newcomer would go, huh, wonder why they do that. Matter of fact, in a few minutes, we're going to do something that if you've never had Holy Communion before, and I have experienced that, having a conversation with people before who'd never had communion, offered to them the way we offer it, and it struck them a little odd. What if these guys didn't even know the rules? And it even goes on to talk about all the other traditions, such as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. Did you know that? That actually there were kettles and pans, and you could cook milk in it, but you couldn't cook meat in it. Women, don't you love that? Or men who cook a lot. You've got twice as many pots and pans to clean now. Just saying. I get off the rails, and I know it. The Pharisees say and ask Jesus, why don't your disciples live to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands? And Jesus goes back to the Old Testament. Oh, see, that's something that always makes me go, how much of the words of Jesus, he was a little Jewish dude. He was a little Jewish guy. He grew up. He knew all the stuff he was supposed to know. He was a Jew. He wasn't a Christian. Everybody look around the room right quick. He was a Jew. He wasn't a Christian. And he knew all the things. But somehow all those things, all those traditions that separated people away from the love of God, just being together, didn't set well with him. Wonder why. Maybe the Holy Spirit coming into his life? Maybe experiencing a love of God that made him look at everybody like they were equal and good and kind and generous, and just because their hands were dirty, they weren't turned away from a table. I'm grateful for that. He quotes Isaiah. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Sometimes we might say something, friends. We might honor something, but our heart isn't in it. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. How many times do we get hung up by human rules? You have to let go of the commands. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. Now, as I thought about today, I thought, human traditions are kind of fun, though, aren't they? Anybody got a human tradition they really like? Let me see. You can't wear white after Labor Day. Do any of you, young people are going, what is she talking about? I'm going to wear white whenever I want. What is white? Wearing white got to do with anything? Any other human traditions? I love thinking about this. I wrote a couple of them down, but they might be weird because, you know, I'm getting off the rails a little bit. You're not supposed to swim for at least an hour after you've eaten. And they're really looking at me weird now. They're going, uh-oh. Human traditions that we have. There's a great story about a get-together, a family get-together, and a new wonderful woman had married into this marriage, in this family. And she was so excited. They obviously weren't Jewish because they were having ham. Just saying. Did y'all know that? No bacon. No bacon anymore, friends. Think about that for a minute. Anyway, she goes to her first Easter. Everybody's gathered in the kitchen. They're loving every minute of it. She's so in love with this little family. And she watches the great-grandmother do something kind of unusual. Great-grandma cuts both ends of the ham off. Now, some of you know this story. Don't give it away. She ceremonially, I mean like a great ceremony. The women gather in the kitchen, and she cuts this end off. She cuts this end off, and she sets them aside. And the woman, the new girl goes, wow, what's this all about? So she's very quiet, though. Ham goes in the oven. Everybody eats. It's a wonderful meal. And she's still going back to, why is one end off and another end off? Well, it's not anything she could think of. So later, she asks someone, one of the maybe younger women in the, she said, you know, what's the deal with cutting both ends off the ham? Well, she didn't know. We've just always done it that way. Great-grandma does it, and when great-grandma's done, grandma's going to do it, and probably if I ever get to be blessed, I'll get to cut the ends of the ham off. She seemed a little excited about the prospect. Girl goes, yeah, but why do you do it? I mean, okay, she was young. She wanted to know why she did the things she did. I get it. So finally she sidles around to great-grandma. She says, great-grandma, I thought that was a beautiful thing you did with the ham, but can you tell me what you're doing with the ham? I need to know. And her great-grandma goes, well, because my mother did it that way. So the conversation goes, and everybody's trying to be sweet and kind and all these sorts of things. She said, well, I still don't understand why you're doing what you're doing. And she said, listen, I've been cutting the end of the ham off. My mother passed this cooking tray down to me, and that's the only way the ham will fit in the pan. It's the only way the ham will fit in the pan. And I wondered also if earlier days, ovens weren't as big as we have. If it wouldn't fit in the oven either. You know, sometimes we're a little strange, aren't we? The traditions that we pass on. And I think Jesus was trying to make a point that you pass on the good stuff, the love. And he wasn't as worried about what people put in themselves, be it ham. I mean, honestly, if we were a sweet Jewish congregation right now, you all would have probably stood up and walked out on me, even talking about ham. Maybe, I don't know. But he talks about the fact that it's what comes out of us, out of our heart. That's where he wants us to go, to the love of God and what comes out of our heart, not what ham goes in the oven or whether we wear white or not. Some of you may even have other traditions that might seem interesting. In a particular part of my family, there would never have been an interracial marriage, ever. That's a family tradition. In parts of my family, there are people, oh, they can come to church, But they can't this and they can't that. And I've really hesitated. I've prayed to God about this ever since it happened. I was having a, you know, the letter came out. I don't want to make anybody squirm, but the letter came out. And so I had someone call me. So, yeah, God, I'm going off the rails. I've got to go ahead and tell it. We talked a lot about the letter and people and what this church will do moving forward. And, you know, it was the strangest thing. That conversation circled around to this sentence that I hung on to. And it's not bothered me because I get it. It went from an Old Testament scripture about people and who they love. It went to the writings of Paul, who said that women should not be pastors. And the person said to me, "You can be my friend, but you can't, but you're not my pastor." Now, I don't say that to you for you to go, "What?" I'm not. I just want you to kind of hear what floats around in our little minds of traditions and how they work in the world and how they can limit us and how sometimes the sweetest person in the whole world, who I still love, can say something that kind of made me go, "Huh. I'll be darned. Didn't see that one coming." We need to fill up on love in this place. Can you hear that from me? I will love this person forever, and there's not a thing that person can do about it, no matter what was said to me, because I live in the love of Jesus Christ. That's who I am, and that's who God calls us to be. He doesn't care if my hands are clean. He doesn't, He just doesn't, I don't think. So as we leave this place, I'd like you to get some joy back in this building. We got this little cloud hanging over us a little bit. And God doesn't want us to have a cloud hanging over us. Look around at somebody and say, "Cloud, God doesn't want to have a cloud hanging over you." Go ahead, I mean it. God doesn't want a cloud to be hanging over us. God wants us to be so filled with the love of God that nothing can disturb our peace of mind. I just wanted to kind of say that to you today, to understand that this is a place of love and joy and service. I love serving a church that has so many things going on in it. And it's a good thing to be a pastor in a church that loves above all else. I'm just saying, I love it so very much. We're going to come to a table in a little bit. I thought, wow, give me a scripture that talks about coming to the table. And we're going to come to the table. Now, here's a fun thing. I don't have communion servers today. They're not listed on the piece of paper. So now I do have Liz Jinkson said she would help me. Rayanne said she would help me. Sarah got thrown under the bus by her husband. How much fun is this? When I served another church, I never knew who was going to serve communion. And I would say, "Okay, anybody that will help me serve communion, come forward." One time I had 8 people show up. I didn't have the heart to make any of them sit down, so it was a Donnybrook. But it was fun. Because I think if we love God as God hopes for us to love God, there's a lot of joy and no one gets turned away from the table. That's just my take on it. So I need one more communion server. Jenny said she would help. Oh, wait a minute. Did I see Grace's hand go up? I have you all the time, Jenny. I can throw you under the bus anytime. I don't have her all the time. Okay, I got my 4 communion servers. Let's pray. Loving God, we are so grateful for this time to be together. Thank you for the times in which we just want to be purely yours. We don't want to do anything other than be in this place, hear your music, and hang on to each other. Because the world doesn't want us to. The world would absolutely love it if we blow apart, if every church just blew apart. And we're not going to do that. And the way the world moves forward, we are going to say that we love you and we love each other and we are staying together. It's in the name of Jesus we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.